Praise the Lord. The first question is for me. It says, communication is key. Someone brought this question up. He said, everyone keeps telling me, how come I find myself in a fallout with people all the time? I don't mean to. Do you have any tips? So I want to bring this question to us. I want to start with you guys before I bring in whatever I have. So the question says, okay, it's up on the screen. It said, communication is key. Everyone keeps telling me, why do I find myself in a fallout with people all the time? I don't mean to. Do you have any tips? This is a question that someone brought up. So I want us to give this person a tip. I want to hear our contributions first. Praise the Lord. If you have anything to contribute to help this person out, I would like you to raise your hands. They will bring the mic to you. Praise the Lord.
It depends on the level of growth this person has, I mean, in his or her relationship with God. I know with God all things are possible, because I know sometimes, you know, based on your foundation, maybe this person might have grown a loner and is used to always having his way, has not really been interacting with people, might not have been used to relating with people, you know, so that now he or she is coming in contact with people, maybe he might find himself either seeing or acting in a way that might upset the other person. So whatever is the foundation, I believe that there's nothing that cannot be resolved with God. So communication truly is key, and you communicate with your body language, with the tone of voice, you know, a lot of things, you know. In fact, every part of you speaks volumes to anyone who is around you. So, you know, and in relating with people, we grow, we learn how to relate with people. So that's why I say maybe this person had grown a loner. So, but with God, all things are possible. So as you begin to relate and then fellowship with the Word of God, you begin to find your place in Christ. You begin to find who you are in Christ. And the Word of God is full of a lot of teachings on how to communicate with people. If you begin to read the book of Proverbs, in fact, I make effort to read that from my mom that made us always read that book. And now that I'm a believer, you know, I constantly go back to the book of Proverbs. It's full of a lot of teachings on how to relate with people. More especially when you begin to learn how that even enhances your walk with God and brings good health to you and brings joy and fulfillment to you, you find out that you gain a lot by you relating properly with people, and it gives you tremendous favor with people. It opens a lot of doors of opportunities for you that you may never know, because you know how to honor people, how to relate, even when they are talking nonsense, even when they are the ones that are stepping on your toes, you know how best to relate with them. So it kind of makes life sweeter and lighter for you when you know how to communicate with people. But like I said, the Word of God is the basics, because the Bible said that wisdom comes from the mouth of God. And he said, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. And where will you get it? From the Word of God. So as you constantly fellowship and with intent, asking God to grant you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and understanding. And the Bible said, if anyone lacks wisdom, ask from God. You find out, you begin to grow and mature in this. And before you know it, you begin to relate with people, and that will be greatest joy for you. Amen.
Any other person?
Okay.
Praise God. I think one other thing is pride. You know, when somebody is a proud person, it's really difficult to get across with other people. And somebody that has judgmental spirit, everything everybody is doing is wrong and they're right. So my tip there is, you know, like Pastor Dorothy said, go to God, be honest to, you know, with yourself. Because this is happening to you, first of all, you've identified, which is good, that you're having this problem with people. It's more difficult when people are telling you and you're arguing and telling yourself that you're the best. But now that you've really identified that this is what people are saying, if two or three people said something, you know, there's an element of truth. So go to God, talk to God. You know, no matter what baggage you have and come to Him, He's going to take care of it. Tell God, this is my fault. I have a problem here. You would have identified what is causing the problem. I'm sure the person knows. Because if you put 10 people together, you would have known where you quarreled or where you fought with somebody. So take it to the Lord, and I'm sure He's going to take care of it. He created us. He knows we have baggages, and He will take care of it.
Any other person? Praise the Lord. When I saw this question, I said, if it's truly a Christian that has this issue, I said the person has to go back. There's a problem somewhere. You have to look back, check yourself again. There's a problem somewhere. For people to keep telling you that, for you to notice that you're having issues with virtually everybody, then there's a problem somewhere. I said, first of all, sit back. Look at the people you're having issues with. What do you think is causing the problem? If it's sometimes we don't respect, like she said, it could be pride. Sometimes it could be that you don't respect the people around you. I keep saying that if it's your boss at work, you have to respect that person. If it's your husband, you know, God is awesome. The God that we serve, I say that He's a God of, He puts everything. When He said that you should respect your husband, He expects you to do that. When He said husbands should love their wives, He knows what He's doing. And when He said that we as citizens should respect the authority, the government, we should do that as well. And in our jobs, He expects us to respect the authority that He placed above us. So what if you find out that you're not respecting those authority? Maybe it's at home. If it's your kid, maybe the kids are not respecting you. You definitely will have issues. If at your job, you're not respecting those people, you definitely will have issues with your boss. And if it's your husband, you'll have problem. Even though some husbands will pretend not to care, but I'm telling you the truth, no man, I read something and they say that men love, cherish respect from their wives, and women in turn love to be loved. I think that is true. So if a husband is not loving the wife the way he should, I think that wife, there will be a problem. And if the wife is not respecting the man the way he should, there will be a problem. So I think we should, if you look at things and you find out that you're not doing the right thing, the things you're supposed to do, it's a simple solution. The solution is to undo the things that you've been doing and do the right thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And if it is pride, you remember what God said, that God, he said He resists the proud every day of their lives. I think we should understand that. If you understand that we are all the same, you are no better than anybody. And if you have problem with people, I think be quick to reconcile, like we said on Sunday. Praise the Lord. Do not let pride
Do not let yourself be, you know, because pride does a lot of things in our lives. If you're a proud person, you find out that you will fall out with everybody you come across with. I'm telling you the truth. If you're a proud person, nobody wants to be around you. Because you find out that your life, you keep condescending people. You look at everybody below you. I don't want to be around such person. So the simple solution to this, is first of all, like mommy said, go back to God. One, and undo the things that you've been doing. Anything, if you've been disrespecting people, start to love people, start to respect them. That will get a long way in resolving whatever issue you have with them. Praise the Lord. And again, I said, sometimes we tend to, like in the family, we said the wives, the position that God has put the husband in, that the woman, we women sometimes we think we are smart. I know. We think we are very smart. We are smart, but don't take it too far. I'm telling you the truth. Don't think you're too smart, smarter than your husband. I've come to realize that sometimes we think we know it, or we don't know better than your husband. God that put him there, he knows why he put him there. Praise the Lord. So don't ever try to, you know, talk down on your husband. I recently witnessed something that shook me. A wife was, you know, the husband tried to say something. He said, "He's an Igbo woman," and she said, "You know," he said the husband should sit down and let others talk. Oh my, I couldn't stand it. I shook my head and sat down. I know that there's a problem in that family. You don't need anybody to tell you that there is a problem in that family. So if you're in such situation, I'm telling you the truth, you need to turn back and do the right thing. Praise the Lord. And most importantly, I said it in English. Yeah. So the main thing again is to go back to God, because he knows it all. For you to realize that you're having issues with people, find out, sit back in your house, ask God to reveal to you what to do. After you point out the issues that you're having with people, look at them. So those people that you've had those issues with, look at the things that caused those things. When you point them out, present them to God. He's all-knowing. Things that you can't do by yourself, once you're humble enough to bring it to God, I tell you, he will do it for you. One thing is for you to desire it, to desire the change. Another thing is to humble yourself to come to God. Once you desire that change and you come to God and believe that he will do it for you, believe me, he will do it for you. Praise the Lord.
Amen. So I think this text will help us, and it's Philippians chapter 2. It's from 3 to 10. That's our text for today. It says, let me start from 1. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. And then verse 3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, talking about pride. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset that's in Christ, who, being in very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Amen. All right. So we can go to the next question. Question two.
Okay, question two says, I work so many conflicts and I cannot take it anymore. I still want to be a witness there, but I can't take it when people leave their work for me or try to pull a smart one. What can I do? Anybody has any solution to that? Anybody? Okay, I'm gonna read it one more time. It says, I work many conflicts and I cannot take it anymore. I still want to be a witness there, but I can't take it when people leave their work for me or try to pull a smart one. What can I do? Any take on this?
Praise the Lord. All right, that you're born again does not mean that you should be timid or to be a footmat. Yeah, we don't have to retaliate when people do stuff to us, but when somebody is doing something that is affecting you, you can tell this person, you can speak out. There are things, I mean, as a matter of fact, every job has a job description. If they hire you, have your own job description. And your job description is not to do other people's work. So if you are even doing somebody else's work, you are even doing something wrong already at your place of work. So you can't allow yourself to be intimidated by that. So if you speak up, that does not mean that you're a sinner. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay, to me, I look at it this way. If there's a job given to you to do, that's your job. It's when you start looking if the other person is doing his job, that's when you start having conflict. But if you are doing your job and know you are doing your job, you don't have to think, you know, if the other person is not doing his job or not. That's the way I look at it.
Praise the Lord. When it comes to work conflict, it is the way you handle it. That is the way it comes on you. That is what is called going the extra mile, wherever you are. And every boss looks for that extra mile. The fact that you have to do what somebody else did not do doesn't make you a fool. At the end of the day, during evaluations that come in, your boss is watching. But the thing is this, who are you talking to? When they're leaving the jobs for you, are you going to the other employees to complain? Or are you going to the boss to say, this is what is happening? And not to complain, but to make your observations known. Most times, what we do is we go, he didn't do it, I did it. Something you did out of the goodness of your heart, you messed it up by going to the other employees to complain. So now the person that left the job, for whatever reason, now thinks you're going after them. But that's not true. But if you go to the right source, you will get the credit for doing what you do. And at the end of the day, going the extra mile where you work means a lot.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else? That's one hand in the back.
Well, if your job is dependent upon the first person finishing this job, then you're really going to be in conflict because it's slowing down the process. And I work in a place where somebody has to do the initial work, another one has to vent it before it comes to me. So at some point, you have to begin to put your foot down. I need it by so-so-so and so time. So the problem is the way you talk to you, those who are working with you or who are working for you. If it's everything is automatum, and you're threatening, if they don't do it right, you're going to fire them or something, then that's when you begin to have a lot of conflict. So when they come to work, they are looking for documentation on how to document issues about you, so that later they're going to file a complaint. So it is essential that you as a Christian, when you are in a place like this, like that, to have words seasoned and how to deal with your employee in a manner like as a Christian. Not with threatening, not with any of those. But there are work that is dependent upon the first person. And if you do not do it, that's why, you know, if you work in a place where you have bureaucracy, something that will take 2 days, take 2 months, because somebody along the line is holding it up and is there sitting.
Okay, anybody else before we move on?
Praise the Lord. Okay, it depends on the type of job you are doing. For example, when I come to work, I have to make rounds. So to make sure that everything is done well. Because at times, if you don't make rounds, they will leave dead body for you. So you have to make rounds to make sure that all the patients are breathing. And it has happened to me, and they have to blame me because I didn't make round, and they cover it up because it takes time to do, call the family, call the doctor. So you have to make your round. And again, some of them don't like doing their job. They like to leave it. And once they start tolerating it, the person will continue doing it. So, for example, you do 11 to 7. I have my job already. As 11 to 7, treat 11. You have labs to call. You have to call them. So what happens most of the time when it happens like that, I go to my supervisor and report it, and it will never happen again. So it can be timid and say that, oh, make sure that you work, be in peace with them, work with them, but tell them the way it is, and they will not mess with you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because of time, we're gonna move on. Okay, Martins, your last one. Oh yeah. Okay, after Martins, Okay, Dr. Happiness. After my uncle over there.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
1 minute.
Okay. I think the two ideas discussed this evening look like one thing. Communication is the key. That's the first one. Am I correct? And the second one is, look at it. When you have something to do, it's your responsibility. Is that correct? Okay. There's something that we always have, that if you have something to do, you are expected to do it. A winner never quits. A quitter never wins. Does that make sense to you? And it is all connected to what you are thinking about communication. If you have to win, you have to communicate. You have to work with human beings, people there. And if you are not getting the help you need, you talk to somebody. Somebody is there, either the boss or somebody who knows what you are seeking for. Communication is for man and man and man and God. If you can't get somebody to help you, then you call God to help you. God will come. So it's not just communication. Look, I've been doing communication all my life. It's almost 60 years. As a journalist, as a professor, I'm communicating every day. So you got to get something done. Don't blame anybody that I can't do it, or this person is against me, or that other person is against me. You will be against yourself when you quit. The same way, if you have something to do and you can't get it, there is Jesus Christ. He's available to you.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Okay, go ahead.
Praise God. Well, there's conflict everywhere, in the homes, everywhere. It depends on how you deal with it. And, you know, this conflict one is having at work, what's your motive for the report? You know, are you murmuring? Are you doing the right thing? If you're doing your job and there's something going on, you can always talk to your boss or write a memo. But as Pastor Dorothy would say, go with the flow. Talk to God. That's the only one we can talk to. No, once we start, you know, doing things or trying to solve our problems ourselves, we're going to remain there. Now, witnessing for the Lord, we don't choose where we're going to be witnessing for the Lord. He chooses you. He puts you wherever he wants. If we have a choice, all of us will come to church to do it. But if he puts you there, he puts you there for a reason. And if you have the mind of witnessing to the people about him, let your life be the witnessing. Because if you're there throwing tantrum or, you know, dealing whatever you're doing with the conflict, you're not going to witness for him. As a matter of fact, you're going to push them away. So let your life be the most effective way to witness to people wherever he puts you.
Praise the Lord. Because of time, we're going to move on. Everything we said here is correct. It's good. But I'm just going to conclude by saying this. If you look at the question again, it says, I still want to be a witness. Okay, so that's a key point. You know, in your conflict resolution, we still want to showcase ourselves as true Christians, as true children of God. You know, so if somebody's leaving work for you, you know, at your place of work, you know, thank God we have Christ, who is our wisdom. You know, Christ is our wisdom. So ask God to give you the wisdom to be able to deal with whatever issue you're facing. And every situation is different, like we all said. You know, the way you handle the situation is different from the way you handle another one. But the conclusion of it is that we should ask God to help us, you know, with the wisdom that God, I would say that wisdom comes from God. Okay, if you try to deal with this on your own, definitely you're going to fail. You can't make any headway. You know, but the Bible said that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If you ask God for the wisdom to help you in dealing with the situation, definitely God will do that. Again, you know, whatever thing we are doing, the goal is for us to, you know, still showcase Christ. You don't want to push somebody aside. You don't want to cause somebody to stumble. And somebody will, at the end, somebody will say, if this is what it takes to be a Christian, I don't want to be a Christian. So our goal is to win souls at the end of it. So whichever way we choose to do it, we have to do it according to the attitude of Christ in Paul. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul was telling the Philippian Christians to also imbibe the same attitude that Christ had when he was here on earth. And that involved humility. Christ was humble when he was here on earth. Philippians 2:5-8, he talks about Christ who though he was God, did not consider himself equal with God, but took the place of a servant, the nature of a servant. So he humbled himself and took the place of a servant. Also, Christ was selfless. He was selfless. You know, he put others first than himself. The Bible said that when he was here on earth, he went about doing good. So he actually came for you and I, not for himself. So he was selfless. You know, Philippians 2, 3a says, "Say, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain glory." So whatever you are doing is not about you, it's about the other person. Though they are living their own work for you, but it's really not about you, it's about the other person. So, you know, I said that the day we gave our life to Christ, that was the day, it ceases to be about you. It becomes about the other person. So you're dealing with your fellow believers or unbelievers, you should know that it's not about you. The goal is to showcase Christ. The goal is not to showcase your own interest. So a lot of times, what causes conflict among us is, you know, selfishness, pride. You know, you feel that you're being denied your right. You feel your ego or your integrity is being dragged on the ground. So you feel like you should do something. You know, but we should know that at the end of it all, it's not about you. It's about the other person. So Christ was humble. He was selfless. And he was sacrificial. It says that regard or value one another as more important than yourself. Yes, they are living work for you, but you shouldn't now go to them and try to bring them down. You don't want to go to them and show them how bad they are. Remember, you know, at the end of everything, the goal is for us to make peace. The goal is for us to progress. You know, the goal is for us to reconcile others to Christ and not to drive them away from Christ. So in your conflict resolution at work, you know, you do it in such a way that at the end, they will see the Christ in you. The Bible said that we are the light of the world. You know, so you still want to show the light. In the midst of the conflict, you still want to show the light. So at the end, you want them to see the light. Sometimes you don't really have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. But by them seeing the way you handle the situation, they will turn around. Okay. So as children of God, as believers, our goal is to showcase Christ. Our goal is to keep being the light wherever we are. In the midst of darkness, let's keep being the light. And God will help us, you know, to take care of the situation, whatever the situation is. Praise the Lord.
Please, I want to chip in something here. Please, no matter what we're doing, if you are assuming you're a licensed person and another person is living hard work for you, and you're within your scope of work, you're not supposed to do that. Please don't go ahead and do that because you want to be a light. That can land you in a jail. You don't want to do that. Assuming a nurse is living, gave you medication to give a patient, you're a CNA, and you know you're not supposed to give patients medication. It's the work of the nurse. Please don't do that, because if anything happens, both of you are going to jail. Both of you are in the problem. So, no matter however you want to handle it, just make sure that whatever you're doing is within your scope of work. Praise the Lord.
I'm going to read 1 Peter 4:16. It says, "But it is no shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name." Praise the Lord. Did you guys get that? Right. It is not shame to suffer for being a Christian. Praise God for the privilege of being called by his name.
Praise the Lord. Also, I want to read Romans 12. It is really directly answering these questions for us. It says, "Repay no one evil for evil, but give thanks to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men." It says, "Beloved, never avenge yourself." Amen. "But leave it to the wrath to God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Amen.
Praise the Lord. Just a minute. Yeah, let me read that translation, New King James. 1 Peter 4:16. So yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I just wanted to say something because everybody's job is different. When you're at work, you have to know the policies that govern what you do, especially if you're a licensed person. If you're in the healthcare industry, there is something you cannot do if somebody leaves certain things for you. Especially, you come in and you, like Sister Grace said, you go around. Somebody can just leave job that can terminate a patient's life, and they didn't do it. And you come in, you're the Christian, you're showing Christ. You will show Christ by the way you communicate that issue, but you have to be wise, because there is, if they leave something, maybe you come in, you've gotten report, you didn't know anything, they covered it up. You go into the room, you have to start calling a code. And you may code the patient dies. It becomes your problem. You know? There are things they will do that can take life in my own kind of job. Everybody's job is different. You can lose your license over it. You can be sued. So that it's important, Jesus is our wisdom. If you come in and know the policies that govern what you do, and you notice that there are important things that need to be done. I have a patient that needs to get blood transfusion. Hemoglobin is like 5, and the nurse keeps shifting it until her shift is over. By the time you know it, patient crashes, and you have to start calling a code on the patient. It will become your problem. It's important that you know, be wise with what you do, be skilled in it, so that you will be able to know. But if there's a problem, go to the right person. Know the right person to go and report it correctly. But don't just say, well, I'm going to do it because you get yourself into deep, deep trouble that you can't come out of. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. This question actually is from one of us, a married lady among us. She starts by saying, at times, I think my husband and I are from different planets, and we definitely speak different language. And then she's asking, why is it that we disagree so much? And when I try to explain myself, he goes silent and shuts me off. So I bottle up in anger and I want to explode. I need help. Praise the Lord. So first of all, I'm going to open it. It's an interactive, topic. So I want to assure the sister that you and your husband are not from different planets. You speak differently and act differently by God's own design and purpose for two of you to complement each other. Praise the Lord. That is the thing. So I took my text from Romans 12, 4-5. It says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of the other. There are so many reasons, pathophysiological reasons why you and your husband act differently. But for sake of time, I can't go into that, into anatomy and physiology. According to Dr. Deborah Lino, he's a psychologist and the author of 10 physiological reasons, gender differences in man and woman. It's taken from Shave magazine. There are fundamental psychological differences between a man and a woman. So here, it doesn't mean that one person, one sex is better than the other. It's just that God has purposed it like that, for two of you to complement one another. Where one lacks, the other one will meet up. Praise the Lord. So I didn't even know that my sister Charity will be referencing us on Philippians 2:3, and I have it here. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem one another, one esteem the other better than himself or herself. Because the word of God also tells us that we should not think highly of ourselves. That's what the word of God says. So we have to accept one another as God has made us. So men and women process information at different levels. And here I have the man's brain. With no offense to anybody, men have their qualities, better qualities than the women. But this is an unavoidable situation, that the man's brain contains more gray matter, while the woman's brain contains more white matter. And the frontal lobe of the woman's brain, which is responsible for problem solving, is so large. That's why women... It's larger than her male counterparts. So this is why women have an advantage in problem solving and emotionally. So in other words, the woman processes information more rapidly than the man. Yes. So please, sisters, or my sister that wrote this, be patient with your spouse, and the husband to be patient with a wife, because everybody has some good quality, which is complementing the other. It's just that each, both the man and the woman, they're unique in their own ways. Then here I have too that men often use logic when engaging in conversation, but the woman speaks from emotional perspective. Praise the Lord. So sometimes it can bring problem in the family. This is why, whomever this our sister is, that can explain why your husband shuts you off when you are trying to explain, because maybe you've talked too much. So women, from societal view, they're open to express emotion. Women, they are forgiving to cry in public. They are forgiving when they are laughing or hugging, you know. So all such things men do not do openly because of what society will say. May not be very acceptable. Praise the Lord. So, you know, in reaction to stress, women are generally open to expressing their feelings and they communicate with others to get solution to problems. But the men, they bottle it up. They bottle it up, they want to do it by themselves, they won't open up at all. Okay, I also have here that some studies have shown that the average woman speaks 20,000 words in a day. Why the man speaks only 7,000? So you see the difference? So when we women go with our chatterbox, our husbands may just decide to keep silent because this is not how they are wired. Praise the Lord. In conclusion, actually, I want to advocate that we all make effort to come to family forum. Family forum is for everybody, for both man and woman. Young adults to come to family forum, because you know what? We've had here in a session been told that women are men are wired differently from men. So make time and come. You will benefit. Praise the Lord. Now I'm opening it up and I'm inviting comments. Praise God. Comments, please. This is interactive. Say something you know why you think this sister is concerned. What advice do you want to give to her? Yes, Obi.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just to continue in what mommy is saying, when I saw this question, I said that the person that wrote this question hasn't been coming to couples forum because we dealt with this topic. I mean, family forum. Or maybe that she wasn't here when we dealt with this issue. And it was a lovely topic that day. But let me answer that question. She said, why is it that we disagree so much? And the answer is the first sentence. Because you think that you and your husband are from different planet. So these are something that you are thinking already. And the Bible has already told us the way a man thinks. So is it? So you have already decided that both of you are from the same, different planet. So obviously. So, and you said, and when I try to explain myself, he goes silent. You see, like mommy said, women and men, we are wired differently. They won't be arguing with you, going back and forth. Instead, we will go into our nothing box, like the man explained at the couples forum. He said, we always go into this nothing box, and there is nothing in there, we are just in there, you know? So, and but my advice to you is this. You see, Christians, we don't have total faith most of the time. We have faith on where we want to have faith, and where we don't think it's necessary, we think we can do it on our own. We have to have faith in everything, even in marriage. You see, God told us, you know, that God said that submit to the man. And submitting to the man is not because the man is smarter than you, but it is a way God wants you to trust him. Trust in God while submitting to the man. And you see God do his work. Even if you think you are right, you can just back down and just hand it over to God. And God will do his wonders. So have faith, you know, that God will work it out and come. Because you have the Spirit of God, and I believe your husband also have the Spirit of God. So that's my answer. Thank you very much.
Contribution, comments, question? Go ahead. I didn't say it all. We there are men and women here. We can advise each other, right?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So my contribution to that question is really a really good question, especially when you're entering into the marriage, to understand these differences, that it's really complementary, like you said. And can you imagine a situation where everybody is, you know, let's use something like somebody is so, both of you are so strict with disciplining the children, and then everybody is so harsh. But God designed this such a way that when one person is lax, the other person comes up. It's just, even if you don't have those qualities coming in, somehow he always does it. And if you start looking at couples, you'll see that God helps you to rise up where your spouse is deficient. And that's really something to be thankful for. But most of the time, it can be a source of conflict. But if we look at it as a way God is helping you to balance out your life, can you imagine where somebody goes out every day, spend every day, whatever they earn, they spend it that week, and then next week they won't have food. So automatically the other person will be the saver, and then the saver is already always upset with the spender. It's always like that. But like my sister rightly said, it's really a way that God is helping your family to preserve you, to help you. And it shouldn't be a source of, we need to be aware of those differences. And many times, those differences are what attract us to one another. Oh, he's so generous. Oh, he bought me this ring and we show everybody. But then when you are married, he's still being generous everywhere and you're now upset. But you loved it. We love it in the beginning. Our differences can really be a very, very good thing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I, I think it's also important to have some accountability, you know, on your own part. What are you doing wrong in the situation? I think we need to at least have some self-reflection where you are asking yourself, what is it my response? Is it the way I approach the situation? Because if I approach the situation with a loud voice and my body language is off, what kind of reaction am I hoping to get? I'm going to get fire for fire. That is really it. So I think the woman herself, you need to, Pastor, I think you need to take responsibility. And that's also sometimes very difficult, because sometimes it's difficult to see yourself and it's difficult to see your faults, which is why God brings a man and a woman together. It's like your spouse kind of gives you a reflection of those areas in which you are missing it. And you do the same for him as well. But the more we study each other, we understand our weaknesses, we understand our strengths, and we know the best way to approach each other. Sometimes maybe it's not when the thing is hurting you right there that you say it. Maybe you calm down and then you approach the issue. Some people will write an email to their spouses. Some people will write a letter just to be able to express their hearts in a non-combative way. And that's bound to reduce the level of conflicts over time. Praise God.
Anyway, let me just add just one more thing to what she said, you know, in addition to what she said. I just wanted to encourage this lady also that, you know, like she mentioned, you have to study your spouse, you know. As you live with your spouse, study your spouse. And then one other thing is that it's important you keep praying for your spouse, praying for yourself. It's so very, very important for the two of you to grow in the Lord. The deeper you grow in the revelation of the finished work on the cross of Calvary, the more you make yourself of no reputation, so that you don't have to, you know, bottle up anything, because what you're bottling up is not healthy for you. So because there's a limit to what the negative emotion your body can harbor. You know, we have seen it even from medical science that it can create a cancer or any of these diseases, and you don't want to get there. So, but you know, as you begin to grow deeper and deeper in the revelation of the finished work, you find out that you will kind of have a spiritual garbage that if there's anything that wants to come in here, you drop it into the garbage. And then you learn your husband that or your wife that, you know, you kind of respect him. He's not shutting down, he's not shutting you down because he doesn't love you or because he doesn't respect what you're saying, but maybe he might not really know how to process it at that time, being the man, like my sister was saying. But you that have the greater grace and you that is the helpmate, you should have a better understanding, because the Bible said a wise woman built her home. I don't know why the Bible said that. It's the wise woman that builds her home. It didn't say the wise man builds her home. It's a wise woman. So the responsibility is on us women, because God has given us so much to be able to handle that. So as you grow deeper in the Lord, you will be able to better know how to relate with your husband and know the right time to discuss certain things and know the right, you know, body language and the tone of voice to discuss such things at the right time. At the right time. It's not all the time. And it's not even all the time that you want to explain. What are you explaining? When you understand who you are, and you know that you are accepted in the beloved, you don't need to prove any point. Why you're trying to explain perhaps might be so that you prove that you are right. You don't have to prove that. So, but because in the interest of pursuing peace, you will rather let it low so that there will be peace between the two of you. And you still, by the grace of God, because of your level of growth, you still be able to relate with him like as if nothing happened. You don't want to give the devil a chance. The Bible says we shouldn't give him the chance. And he's kind of trying to get in between the two of you. You rather choose to put that in the garbage and still relate with him like as if nothing happened. But that is by the grace of God. And that's why it's so very important that you keep on growing. And that's why we encourage you, come for Bible study, come for Sunday school, come for family forum and different other, you know, groups that meet where you belong. As you keep coming, it is the word of God that keeps cleaning you up, and helping you to be able to be like Christ in your relationship with your spouse, so that nothing touches you, because you are really dead, you know, so to say. You're dead spiritually to sin, but you find that that deadness will reflect in your relationships, that those things will not be touching. Rather, you'll be having mercy on the other person, trying to see how you can help the other person to get it right. And that way, the devil will not find any room in between the two of you. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for your contributions. But because the theme for this family forum this year is continuously pursuing peace. So if you have in mind that really all what has been said, the pastors especially, very, 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 very important, you know, that we check ourselves. But then let us know that we have to make allowance for one another. Give in to that there are certain things different in you and him, you make allowance. And in that way, you're not going to be offending each other. Praise the Lord. That's all I want.
I want to add a little something. Don't always assume that you are correct. Because you might assume that I'm the right person and he's wrong. Who told you so? Don't always assume. It's always good to be humble and go and discuss. Because in discussing, you might get more information that helps you to know that you are wrong. Because you can assume I'm right, you don't have all the facts yet. Until you hear where the other person is what? Coming from. The Bible says we should pursue peace. So Jesus said, go and discuss. He said, if your brother does something, go. Because it's in talking that you let off steam. It's in talking that forgiveness comes. Otherwise, you can be going around and saying, well, I want to help you, but you are the one that needs help at the end of the day. So it's always good to talk, and then you don't know what the other person has in his mind unless he expresses it. You don't know the other factors that are playing into this unless you give opportunity to get all the information. So I think it's always good to go and sit down in humility and say, you know, I don't know everything about this thing. Maybe there are certain things that I'm doing that I don't see myself that is contributing to all of this. So that's one thing. But the other thing is that I know that if you don't respect a man, you will shut him down. And pretty soon, he will not be telling you what he's doing. Pretty soon, you will no more be a partner to him. Men have fragile ego. They don't like people who run them down. Because by nature, men are achievers. If you meet a man, he wants you to know he has achieved. First of all, meet my wife. That's my car. I'm HOM in Orange Four Squatchers. Men are achievers. That's the way naturally, whether animal or human, the male gender is a leader, a natural leader and an achiever. So men define themselves from how much they have achieved. And if he's not achieving much, it could be a sore point for him that the things you say, he might be reading it from the point that, okay, because I'm not doing well, that's why you are saying that. See, you can't know that until you sit down with him. You can't know that. So men are fragile in their ego. We look macho, but we are very, very fragile people. And so a man doesn't like you talking him down. Because what he's hearing is that I have failed. You may not know that that's what you're saying. But that's what he's what? Hearing. So he doesn't want to hear I failed. So if he wants to do something, he won't tell you anymore. Because he doesn't want you to come up again with you have failed. You know. So what he does is if he finds somebody else who tells him you are doing well, he will say, look, this thing I want to tell you, I've not told anybody. It's you I want to tell. Why? Because this person is always encouraging him, telling him what he wants to hear, building him up, affirming him. And the affirmation, we eat it like cocaine. Cocaine. Every man loves affirmation. You know, it makes you feel that you can hit the thing, you know. So even if you're not doing well, when you find your wife as a partner who says, come on, go ahead. You know, somebody can do something wrong. The way you spin it to bring it to him, you can put a bitter medicine in a capsule and the man will swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And you can bring the same medicine and give it to him bitter. He will say, pia, pia, pia. It's the same medicine. It's wisdom in presentation. It's wisdom in word. It's how do I put it to edify him while I'm still bringing out my point. You start with affirmation. You know, my husband, you men are awesome. You're just wonderful. Wow. You know, I just love you. That's why I married. But you know, I'm a woman. As a woman, I just see it like this. For the fact you started with affirmation, he will pretend he didn't hear you. But when you go, is that thing you said, he will do. Because he doesn't see his ego being challenged. Rather, he sees that thing as complimentary now. Wisdom is everything. Wisdom is everything. The way I talk to you will make the difference in everything we do. So I just wanted to bring that. I'm not a marriage counselor, and I'm not a prophet, neither the son of a prophet. But I wanted to add this. Thank you for the opportunity.
Praise the Lord. Abrewe.
Praise the Lord. I have an issue from a couple, and this issue is very common with many families. Let me read out the topic. It says, when I discipline the children, my spouse defends them. He or she accuses me of being too hard on them. He lets them get away with everything. We don't see eye to eye in this issue. Please help. This couple is asking us to help them. He's asking us to help them. We know from this couple that they have children. They want to discipline, that is, train them. We don't know their background, whether they're actually believers, Christians, or not. But we are expected to help them, and they are asking us to help them. We know we have children, and you want to train them for their future. And the Bible says, train the child the way he should go. When he grows, he will not depart from it. That's Proverbs 22:6. So he or she that disciplines these children in their family does not discipline them in the right way. As Christians we are, we discipline our children with the word of God. But here, Christ is absent in their family. So my recommendation for them, my help I want to give them, is one, they should pray together. The family should pray together and ask that Christ to come into their home. As it is said in Revelation 3:20. Look, I want to read NLT. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends. If they pray together and ask for Christ to come into their family, Christ will come into their family, and this issue of discipline and defense will be a thing of the past. So prayer is first. The second thing I ask them to do is invite Christ into their lives. They should accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Because when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They will now learn how to train their children in the right way. And to train your children in the right way is bring them to Christ. Show them that light. Another thing I recommend for them is the Word of God. The Word of God has to dwell richly in each of them. They should ask and pray together, study the Bible together, discuss the Bible together, even with their children. They should be able to do that so that they can forge ahead. And this issue of when I say it is too hard, the other guy will say, no, don't do it. And they want to train our children. Yes, we train them with the Word of God. And I said here, they should avoid, whoever disciplines their children should avoid the use of negative words. Because death and life are in the power of tongue. We know this. So if they know this, whoever disciplines their children will use positive words on their children. They will not curse them, will not say, children, you are useless, you will not be anything in life, no curse on them. They will only be saying words of encouragement on their children. And I advise them here to, whoever disciplines their children, do not belittle them. Do not belittle your children. It irritates the children. It demoralizes them. It demoralizes your children. Encourage them well. Tell them stories about Jesus, what Jesus has done. Sit them down. Sit them down and discuss issues with them. Don't belittle your children. It's not good. Don't compare your children with other children. Do not compare your children with other children. It's not good. Prophesy on your children the word that edifies, word that exalts and comforts. This is what we should do. If we are not doing it, we should start doing them right away. Paying attention, I advise whoever disciplines the children and the one that does not discipline the children that they should listen to their children. They should be patient enough to listen to their children because children have opinion. Don't shut them off. Allow your children to say what they want to say and stay with them. Spend quality time with them. They will learn a lot from you and you will learn from them because children, they have wisdom. You have your own wisdom. The kingdom of God is for them. So when we behave like children, we now make sure we are going to the kingdom. Physical punishment. They should avoid physical punishment. Do not be a terror in your home. Do not terrorize your children. Leave that here whip. Forget about it. Those of us who grew up in Nigeria, I knew what we passed through. If you are five in a family, there will be five canes for you. You have your own. But it is not like that this time. We are in a new dispensation. So we should do things what is obtaining now. Especially in this country. Otherwise, they'll hand you over to the police and your own will end up there. So, and here I said, love. Show love to your children. This couple should show love to their children. Because Proverbs says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. When you love your children, you'll be able to forgive them. Be forgiving, like we discussed on. Be forgiving. It's not everything your child does. Yo, look, you must get punishment. No! Call him sitting down. This thing you did is not good. I'm not going to punish you, but don't do it next time. The person will not repeat it again. But when you say, I'll rub paper on your eye. Okay. Next time he does it, highest thing my mom will do is to rub paper on my eye. And after she will come and rub oil on it and wash my face. It didn't get anywhere. So talk to that child, talk to your children, let them hear the word of God. And I want to temper control. Bible says, do not be hot-tempered. Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. 1 Corinthians 15:13 says, Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And Proverbs 22, 24, and 5 says, do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. We are warned. As children of God, as Christians, we should do what the Bible has said. That is our focus. That is where life is. There is life. There's no life in any other place outside Christ. And Christ is the Bible we have. So I'm ending up with family meeting. I advise our family to hold family meeting once in a while, maybe once in 3 months, and allow their children to air their views, because it's a great opportunity to hear from them. If you don't hear from them, you don't know what will be in their heart. So, like Hebrews 10 says, let us not give up meeting together. I advise them to meet together. That is, hold family meeting, discuss issues, resolve anything you have outstanding, and pray together and be thankful to God. Brethren, I want to give you time, if there is still time, to make contributions or comments on this issue.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, I wanted to point out that as couples, I know that I know that bringing up kids is really stressful, I know that. But the fact remains that for you to bring up kids, you guys have to work together. And remember that the day you guys were joined together, you guys became one. So you have to find a way to reconcile whatever it is, so that you guys, both of you, can bring up these kids as one. Because when one person is saying one thing and another person is, there is confusion. And these kids, they watch you, they look at what you're saying, they look at what you're doing. So you have to find a way so that you can work in unity, work as a team, work as one to bring up these kids. Don't confuse them with divided opinions. Praise the Lord. And again, I want to plead with our parents. For those of us that still have little kids, I want to tell us, don't say too much no's to these kids. When you keep saying, no, 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 don't do this. No, 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 no. What they are hearing is, yes, 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 I want to do this. I'm telling you the truth. They are curious. When you keep telling them, no, 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 they are curious. What is ringing in their head is, yes, they want to see what is in there. So you find a way to distract them. When you say that, no, you can't do this, and they go ahead to do it, find a way to distract them. I'm talking of those of us that still have little kids. Find a way to distract them from that thing at that moment. And if they go back to it, find a way to distract them.
10 seconds. Because,
praise the Lord.
I got you distracted. So who else?
Well, I think most of the things have been said, but when it comes to discipline with couples, even if your spouse went the wrong way, I don't think you should correct her in the presence of the children. Let that discipline stay, and when you get back in the bedroom, tell him or her you didn't do it well. That's very, very important, because the moment the children find out that daddy, you always defend me, then your wife has lost the control. So even if you want to correct your spouse, either your husband or your wife, you get inside the room and say, look, that was too hard. Don't give them room that I don't want to discipline you. It's your dad that wants to discipline you. And it becomes a disadvantage at the end of the day. The second thing is when we want to discipline our children, we should also let them know what they've done wrong. Don't just descend on them and punish them. Let them know that I'm going to punish you, or I'm going to deprive you of this because of this and this and this that you have done. And when we also set limits and targets for them, let's give them things that are realistic. For example, your teenage son or daughter comes to you and says, I want to go out. to spend time with my friends. And you said to him, okay, you can go, but come back in 15 minutes. That doesn't make sense. You're giving him an unrealistic target. He's likely going to fail. You know, so give them realistic targets. And when they miss it, give the opportunity, give them a second chance before we begin to put a hard limit on them. So for every discipline, there should be, you should let them know, look, I told you to go see your friend, and you should spend 2 hours. Look at the time. You're coming back 30 minutes after. Because of that, I'm going to do this, this, and this to you. You know, it's very important. Thank you.
We have 2 minutes. Anybody else?
Praise the Lord. I also want to add that this particular question is too general. You know, when I say discipline, it can mean so many things. I would advise whoever that wrote this question to either see one of the pastors or one of the counselors here in the family forum group, because there are so many things that can be involved. You know, maybe the discipline might be hard, and women have this natural instinct that if they feel that you are about to kill their son or their children, they will jump in. You know, it could be one or two things, or maybe the man might feel like, okay, I said this to the child, now you are now telling the child another thing. Now he wants to, you know, interfere or something like that. I believe that the question is kind of too general, because there are so many ifs. If I can say, what if this, or somebody else might say, what if, so we'll spend the whole night, you know, answering this particular question. So I would advise whoever, if your question hasn't been answered, maybe to see one of our counselors. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Awesome, awesome. There is conflict everywhere. Let somebody say that. But I wanted to say something before we just close. You know, the Corinthian church, they were suing each other, you know. It was a conflict place. They had so much conflict. People were suing each other. And Paul was writing about that. Now, conflict will come. But, you know, we should not use it. We should not, we should not be suing our brothers. There are people who might cause you pain. But that does not mean that you can go to the extreme. Now, I remember somebody, I did some work with that person, and he gave me a bounce check. I was calling him, he was ignoring my phone call. 1 month, 2 months. The first thing that came into my mind is to sue him. So, but I looked at it, I said, no. You know what I mean? As a Christian, you should not be taking everybody to court. You know, you might suffer the loss. Decide to suffer the loss. That's what Paul said. You know, and so conflict do come. Also, the other thing about communication, you know, our sister talked about men and women, you know. What about teenagers and everybody else? You know, I remember I'm still growing up in that right now, where people ask you, you come back from work, you say, how's your day? The first word is fine. Tell me about it. Everything is fine. You know, our communication for men, that we're not from different planet. We're not from different planet. It's just that we sometimes, you should learn how we are wired. And men should also learn how women are wired. That's why we coexist and we live in peace, you know. And so that's what we are talking about tonight. Next time, we're going to talk about in-laws. You guys, how many of you saw the drama on Sunday? How was it? It was awesome. So now we're going to talk about in-laws, how they influence us and how they sometimes bring some of those conflicts that we go through. That will be our next time. So give it up for the panel today. Awesome.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings daily, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.